This is Aaron and Ash. You're listening to Path into Product, a show for students and professionals considering product management as a career. We interview actual product professionals and share their insights and tips for getting into the rewarding career that is product management. Welcome back to Path into Product. We're here with Matthew Lace, who is an associate product manager at American Express. And Matthew has 3 or 4 months in product experience, so this will be a great rookie episode to hear how somebody who recently was on the path into product, how he finally got into product. So we're so glad to have you here today, Matthew.
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So we usually like to start by asking, how do you define product management?
That's a great question. And I think for me, and kind of how I fit it to my background, is that I view product management as connecting the dots between different parts of an organization and really creating alignment behind a common product or a common goal. And so I've seen that so far in my product journey of really, you know, being collaborative and trying to chase down everything and make sure everything's plugged in and stuff, so to speak. And so that's really been a great experience with that. So that's how, at this point, I would define product management. I'm sure it'll change for me.
Yeah, I really like how you say just connecting the dots. Ash and I have had that conversation offline quite a bit of just connecting. Could you give us a little bit more of a description of what you mean by connect the dots? I think a lot of people will hear that and they say, oh yeah, I can talk to developers and I can talk to marketing. That's easy schmeasy, right? What does that actually mean to connect the dots?
I think it means being able to zoom in and zoom out fluidly. And so being able to, you know, I love gathering context in every situation I go into. I love, you know, the macro picture, the big picture, but I like also being able to zoom in into the micro there. And so I think connecting the dots is really being able to live in both worlds simultaneously and to translate, you know, the requirements from one to another or to from one stakeholder to another. And so really being able to speak multiple languages, if you will, and to be able to kind of balance the contexts. I think that's what that means to me.
Yeah, fantastic. Is that a skill that comes naturally to you, or is that something that you had to learn and practice over time?
Ooh, that's a great question. It's not always come naturally to me, but that's something that I developed as I gained confidence as a professional and as I kind of moved and through different jobs. And so I think maybe a turning point in that where I was able to really kind of understand the context I'm working in and translate those requirements came when I moved to Ecuador and I got my role as economic development specialist with the UN Institute for Training and Research. And so that was, for me, I was working in a language that was not my native tongue. I was working in Spanish with all my colleagues there, and it really helped me realize the importance of being clear and the importance of really understanding the task at hand and what you want to deliver. Because I had to literally focus on how to do that in a different language. And so it changed the way I thought about my communication skills, as well as, you know, listening for requirements and being able to kind of operate in that context, if that makes any sense.
Love that. Yeah. Well, you're already kind of getting into the story, so we might as well ask it now. And then we can dive in after that. So Matt, tell us the story about your product management path and how you got into product management.
Yeah, so it's been quite a winding path, it feels like, for me. And so in my undergraduate studies, I studied applied economics and global studies. And so two majors there. And when I graduated, I moved to Ecuador and worked there for a couple of years. And so, like I mentioned before, I was working more in the intergovernmental organization space. And so I was fully passion driven at that point. And I wanted to go out and make a difference. And so I started at UNITAR, which I mentioned earlier, and then eventually transitioned to UNHCR, the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, and ended up getting a project funded with them to work with refugee youth and was going full on in project management and kind of leading some initiatives there. And that was a great experience for me, and then ended up having some security incidents that made me have to leave Ecuador and then landed in Australia, where I was going to start a nonprofit organization. And so eventually that nonprofit failed, which was a great experience. And I ended up getting connected with a technology consulting company working on a contract with the Australian government. And so that was my first introduction to the world of technology. And I worked with entrepreneurs from Papua New Guinea and the Pacific. And so we would go and help launch the tech SME accelerator there. And so it was my first experience really working with founders and seeing people who have built things and built solutions with their own hands to the problems that they're seeing in the world. And that was inspiring for me because I felt like I hit a wall in my past work. I felt like I was, you know, always on the receiving end of the solutions being built and only implementing something that I didn't have the tools to tinker with, so to speak. And so that got me thinking. And from there, I came back to the US and ended up doing my master's in global management. And so I thought about doing a traditional MBA, but I realized that for me and my background, I wanted something that was a little more flexible that I could tailor to my interests. And so that's what brought me to Phoenix, Arizona. And while there, I dove a little bit deeper into technology, ended up spending about a year in an internal consulting capacity with Ericsson at the graduate level. And that ended up morphing into my first product management experience where I helped kind of launch an online education portal with them. And so I worked for the first time with engineers, worked with subject matter experts, and I conducted, you know, interviews with users. And so that's what got me thinking, like, okay, this, I didn't know it was called product management at the time, but I really liked what I was doing. And so when I was, you know, in the job search now in the last year of my graduate school program, I was doing interviews. And during one of the interviews for a project manager role, they're like, hey, you know, this sounds like you have some great product management experience. And so that was an aha moment for me where I realized, oh, okay, this is an area that, you know, I don't have a network in this. I don't have a background in this, but this is, you know, what could be the next move for me. And so from there, I reached out to some alumni and talked to people who were in the field and realized, okay, this is something that I want to focus on in the rest of my job search. And so that's how I ended up landing a role at American Express, and where they're able to give me a chance in product management and kind of see and understand the story and the path that I want to go down.
Yeah, this is really cool. And I have so many questions. And maybe going back, I think, to this interview. So a little more context there. So were you like applying for like project manager jobs? And in the course of that interview, they mentioned this product management thing. And that's kind of how you first learned about it. Give us a little bit more context there.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was focusing on mainly project management roles. And this is the final stage, final round of interviews at a startup. And I was interviewing with the CEO, and we were talking through my background and everything. And yeah, he just kind of shared some of his insight at that moment. He's like, okay, it sounds like, you know, some great product management experience. And really that was it. I didn't end up getting the role, which is a good thing looking back.
You dodged that for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so I think, you know, he's able to, whether he knows it or not, help me along that journey.
Yeah, that's great. So he says you might be a better product manager, but you were kind of already doing these things. What did you do at that point to learn about product management?
Yeah, I started looking at the skill set required to be, you know, for product management. And I looked at, I also, you know, used LinkedIn extensively and looked at people who are in product management, but didn't have, you know, a traditional background, or they came from different areas. And so did a lot of networking and cold messaging, if you will. And, you know, eventually people agreed to talk to me. And I, you know, got book recommendations. I love book recommendations. And so that really helped me, just plowing through a few books and just getting up to speed on how to, you know, interview for product management roles.
So you've mentioned something that I don't think anyone else that we've had has mentioned this. And so I would like to dive in a little deeper into this. You talked about reaching out to your alumni group. Help us understand, what does that mean? What were you doing? Walk us through that process so we can understand. And I mean, a lot of our listeners are coming out of school or are in school right now, whether it's undergraduate or graduate. And so, you know, they have that network as well. But how did you go about reaching out to them?
What I did, I mean, I went to the Thunderbird School of Global Management, and I went there because of their alumni network. They have a great network in, you know, around the world, and that's something that really stood out to me. And so to take advantage of that, and what anybody can do at their school is, you know, I really leveraged that. And so I said, hey, I am a Curtis student graduating this spring or whatever. And just kind of went from there, and it was maybe 3 or 4 lines on the outreach, on the messages I would send. And I would not say anything like, oh, I need a job. I wouldn't mention that because I just wanted to build a connection. And I wanted to be genuine at the same time. And so, because I wanted to learn about this new field. And so sent out many messages, let's say maybe, you know, 1 in 5 respond. You know, that's successful in my eyes. And just keep it light and be clear in what you're asking for. So I would say, hey, can I get 15 to 30 minutes of your time through Zoom? And be very clear so they could know what to expect if they were to decide to talk to me, rather than say, hey, I would love to connect. You know, that's rather ambiguous, and it doesn't leave them with much to do. They would have to initiate and say, okay, call or Zoom. So, yeah, that really helped for me. And I was surprised by how willing people were to connect. And also, it's flattering for them because, you know, who doesn't like to talk about their experience and their successes in this field? And who doesn't like to be able to help somebody else out along the way?
So you were targeting alumni in product management?
Yes.
How did you know they were in product management? Like, walk us through that process as well.
Yeah. So I, like I mentioned before, I used LinkedIn extensively. And so I just filtered online, like alumni from my school, and then with the title of product manager or director of product management. And so I really used those tools. Every day. I use them every single day. And I still do in some capacity just to stay connected, or if students reach out to me as well. So yeah, that was very useful to be able to identify exactly the population I wanted to target.
Fantastic. And so, okay, so you reach out to them, they respond in rates that maybe you weren't expecting. And now you're sitting in front of them for 15 and 30 minutes. What are you talking to them about? What questions are you asking them? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, so I would draft up a few questions, of course, based off of their background and what I can see, you know, their career progression and everything. I would ask them, you know, what things have helped them along the way, what they would recommend to somebody in my position, kind of the standard questions I would have queued up, just in case the conversation faltered and at any moment. But really, I would just like to, you know, walk them through my background as well after they give me an introduction and just see what happens. Sometimes it'd be 15 minutes, sometimes it would be an hour. But I, you know, at the 30-minute mark, I'd usually say, hey, I'd like to be respectful of your time. You know, this is how much time we had budgeted. But yeah, there weren't many awkward pauses, thankfully. But just the conversation flowed naturally. And what really helped me as I was in those conversations, and what helped kind of take the pressure off of it, was a quote that somebody told me, and I'm sure people have heard of, but it's like, with regards to networking, it's some will, some won't, who cares, and who's next. So it just kind of took the pressure off of that and said, okay, some people will respond, some people will be willing to help you out, some won't, that's just reality. Who cares? You know, it's just networking. And that, but who's next? What are some next steps that you can take, and who can you reach out to next? If they can connect you to somebody, fantastic. Or if it's just sending another message to somebody.
Yeah, that's really good and practical advice. Could you give us some examples of maybe some of the questions you would ask some of these folks once you actually did get them on the phone?
Yeah. So I would usually ask, you know, what were, you know, if they didn't come from, if they had a background that was entirely different from product management or what they were in, I asked them, you know, what led to that decision. I looked for a lot of people who were in the NGO space before as well. And then I asked them, like, do they still kind of engage in this more passion-led work or this more social impact work on the side? What are their plans for that? And what were some of the gaps that they had to fill and that they really had to work hard in those areas? And also how they communicated that to those who were skeptical of their experience, saying, really, like, why product management? Why this and why now? Because everybody has a story to tell, but it's just a matter of crafting it. So yeah, I would just dig deeper into their background and try to keep 70% of the conversation on them and have them talking to me 70% of the time, and I would only talk about 30% of the time.
Yeah, that's great. Those are great examples. Could you provide us maybe the single greatest insight that you learned while you're doing those networking interviews?
Ooh. Wow. That's a great question. A single piece of advice. You know, I'd say the best piece of advice that somebody gave me was just to own my story. Because, you know, I wish I would have known this in my graduate school program as well and everything, but there are a lot of people on a lot of different paths. Everybody has their own goals and they have their own things that motivate them in life as well as in their career. And so, you know, I spent a lot of time trying to mimic other people and mimic other professionals. The piece of advice that I got really helped me in just being able to say, okay, this is my background. I didn't take this path. I didn't know what I wanted to do exactly out of undergrad in this area, blah, blah, blah. And so I, instead of feeling, you know, insecure about that, I said, well, okay, this is what makes me unique. And this is what allows me to contribute in a capacity that other people maybe can't, or that allows me to just really make an impact in whatever organization I'm in. So that really helped me kind of build confidence and helped me tell my story better. And once that happened, that just unlocked a lot of doors.
Yeah, I love how you say that. I think a lot of times product management comes down to good storytelling, right? And story crafting and be able to communicate that. So being true to your story and knowing how to communicate that, that's certainly powerful. You are fresh off of the path of product into your product role. Tell us a little bit about interviewing for your very first product management role. What things surprised you as you are in some of those interviews?
I was surprised by the structure of it, I suppose. I mean, there are, product management questions, if you will, that you don't see in other areas. There are other ways of approaching that. And what else surprised me? I mean, at that point, honestly, it felt like a natural transition from some of the other interviews I had, because at that point I was kind of getting into the groove of prepping. And so I just, once again, went through all the job descriptions, made lists of questions and talking points based off of that. And I also read some books that helped with the interview process. So really I just studied and I just put the time in, which, you know, isn't fun, but but I was able to do.
Wonderful. And I think this is the second time I've heard you mention books. So I'd like to ask you top three book recommendations for aspiring product managers. What do you say?
Ooh, that's a great one. My number one is Inspired. Inspired Product Management, I think is the full name of that. That really helped paint a picture for me as I dove into my role at Amex. And that's something that leadership in my department recommended to me. And that's I've loved that book. Then also Product Mastery was another one, which kind of it goes more into the product owner role, but it has a lot of takeaways that helped me as well when I'm working with my teams. And then the Design and Everyday Things, I believe it's called. It's sitting here in my bookshelf, but I've had that book with me actually since undergrad. And somebody recommended that to me even before I knew that product management was something that I would get into, but it's helped me in product management and also beyond.
Yeah, Ash is celebrating. That's been one of his favorite books for a long, long time.
Yeah, I read that as an undergraduate. I studied psychology, and so Don Norman was kind of well known, and it was a perfect introduction to realizing the role that I wanted to kind of fulfill. I knew I couldn't design like he was talking about, but I knew I could find problems that he was talking about. And that was kind of my intro into product management. I want to dig into something here because, and I might have got the wrong sense. And so I want you to correct me if I'm wrong and help me understand. You began as you spoke about your time in Ecuador as being passion driven. And you used these words. You said, at that time, I was passion driven. And which indicates to me as a listener that that's changed. Because you used that at that time, right? And so I'd love to understand that. Has that changed? Did you lose that because you felt like you've come over into the capitalistic side of things rather than the NGO effort that you were working on? Help us understand that and what that means for you as a product manager.
We'll be right back.
I was wondering when you were going to ask that. So it's evolved for me. The passion is not gone, and it's something that fuels me every day still, but it's, if you will, it's matured, or it's been, become informed. And so my first few roles when I was on more the NGO side of things, working on those initiatives, I was solely fueled by passion, and that's all I had. I didn't have a great skill set around it. I had a lot of knowledge and a lot of ideas. I didn't really know how to translate them into reality, how to make them work. And so now what fuels me is I'm building that skill set to actually make a difference, to make the change that I want to have happen on my product management path. You know, I'm getting closer and closer to being able to build out and to have the tools to combat the issues that I was so worried about before and that I still am in the world. And so as I am, that is more, whether it's my vocation or my advocation, that flops back and forth. And I do believe that many corporations have a lot of ways in which they can meaningfully contribute to some of those more passion-driven issues or there's towards social impact. And how I'm doing that right now is outside of work. And so there's a group called Global Shapers. It's through the World Economic Forum. It's a group of young professionals. They have hubs around the world, and it connects them to the World Economic Forum resources to help make change in their communities. And so I had somebody at one point tell me that, real change, the power to make real change happens at a local level. And so that's been an inspiration to me as, whether it's through Global Shapers, being connected to those professionals in my area, or whether it's through just kind of the things I see on a daily basis, because, you have to start chipping away at the block in order to get anywhere. Ultimately that's, I feel like I am becoming more and more capable of, actually making the change that I felt like I wasn't able to make before. And so I think the product management skill set is very valuable in these areas, whether or not that's in the job description, that can be applied anywhere, I believe. And that's something that I saw when I was, in my first positions as well, that there was a huge need for that skill set. And there was, oftentimes in the offices I was in, there was, an acute lack of it.
So what are some of those skills that you, what is that skill set that you're referencing?
Yeah. And so literally just being able to know how to build something, how to develop something. So for example, the teams of engineers that I'm working on, like that's something that, you'd be surprised as even at that basic level, being able to communicate with different stakeholders, being able to translate business requirements into technical requirements and back and forth. And that's something that is hugely valuable. And for me, how I'm going to apply my skill set in the future is, I like to build things and I like to make things happen. And so just that in itself and being exposed to agile methodologies as well. I mean, all of that comes together and forms a cocktail that is a very transferable skill set, and that is, it can be applied in many different areas and in many different contexts.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, right? That product management, it is more a mindset, I feel, and sort of this bundle of skills of problem discovery and problem validation and leading a cross-functional team to experiment on various solutions that actually work, right? That actually solve the problems, right? And so I think it's really interesting to see how maybe your day job, you're not quite able to apply those passions as much, but you're able to sort of hone that skill set and that mindset to take that elsewhere and in the off hours, go work more towards the passion and take those skills that you developed and apply those into solving problems in other contexts. Yeah, that's well said.
Yeah. And also, everybody's career path takes its own twists and turns. And so that's something that will set me up to be able to you know, in the future, if that's something that I want to focus more on, you know, more as my vocation or more, you know, full time, that I will be prepared to do.
Yeah, there's no shortage of problems to be solved, right?
Right, right. And I think somebody who's able to kind of speak the language of product management and know how these solutions are built, I think that's a very sought after thing. And that's a need that should be met.
Can I dig a little deeper into that, Matt? Sorry. I think there's something here that I want to draw out somehow. So you talk about this skill set and you mentioned translating business requirements into technical requirements. And you also mentioned that you did project management. So if you went down the project management path, would you be obtaining the necessary skill set in order to drive your passion in the non-governmental side of things, the NGO side of things? Or is there something different about product management that you've seen that that can be more effective?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it, you know, there's a lot to be extracted from both of those career paths, and they both have great skills. But for me, I really liked the ability to dive into the technical side of things and really to get my hands dirty. And how do we take something from day one and really turn it into a product that consumers want and that generates profit and that, you know, can be self-sustaining. And I really enjoy the full life cycle of things. I really like to have to kind of, yes, people say, oh, be the CEO of the product and stuff like that. People love and hate that term, but really being able to have a hand in everything and every part of bringing something from nothing into, you know, completed and shipped product. That is enticing to me. And that type of commitment is what I think is, you know, it sets it apart, and that's what I wanted to focus on and a need that I think, you know, should be met, like I mentioned before.
You seem to have an entrepreneurial drive, right? To be an entrepreneur, whether it is a nonprofit entrepreneur or a profit entrepreneur, whatever it is, how does that influence, or how is that being influenced by your product management career?
Yeah, this that's a wonderful question once again, and that's something that has been kind of a thread between my different experiences. And that's, I mean, entrepreneurship has been kind of a driver for me ever since I was a kid. I was, you know, that kid selling, you know, baked goods at a garage sale and stuff like that. I would go, and I was very into gardening as a kid as well, and I would go to neighbors and convince them to let me use their lawn and dig it up in order to grow things. And so I've always been trying to create opportunities where there weren't opportunities before. And that's why that's another reason why I was led to product management, and is that I do see this skill set that I'm building really helping me in the future to, like I mentioned before, see these issues that might be more social impact focused, but and find a way to build a solution to solve them. Yeah, it keeps coming down to skill sets for me, and being able to tie my work into some of the broader goals that I have. And so once again, like I'm fairly confident that at some point in my career, entrepreneurship will play a bigger role. That's definitely a future that I want to prepare myself for. If that should happen, you know, I want to have the tools and the connections and the knowledge.
That's awesome. I think, and Aaron, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think that's the first time anyone on our podcast has expressed that product management is a stepping stone to something else.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the other people that we've had on, and they might be thinking about it in the back of their minds that, you know, that's where they're going to do the entrepreneurial thing, they're trying to become, you know, their own boss or whatever it is. But I think we haven't had anyone right up front talk about product management as a stepping stone to something else in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I wanted to get at. And I loved how you were able to kind of bring that in. And especially how you tied it back to that passion-driven part of who you are as a person and how you can use the skill set of a product manager. I just love that. Thank you.
Yeah, and it's something that, you know, being able to plan for the future and see how, you know, you want everything to come together. That's something that I do sometimes to a fault, where I, you know, I like to envision like 10 different paths that I could go down and take the steps now to, you know, to close the least amount of doors. And sometimes that's a good, that's a bad thing. You know, there are moments to put up the blinders and there are moments to take them off. And that's something that I've been learning in the last few years is to, you know, sometimes you just have to be patient and build the skill set and to just excel at your role and deliver the most impact possible. Then there are moments to take down the blinders and look around and say, okay, where am I? Where am I headed? And, you know, where do I want to be 10, 20, 30 years from now? And am I still on a great route for that? Okay, fantastic. Let's go back and plug away for a little bit longer. And so that's something that, you know, in my current role at American Express, I've been having to learn again, because my supervisors, I've been driving them crazy saying, okay, now what? Now what? Let's go. Let's keep going. But I've been reminding myself, and they have been reminding me, to just take a deep breath, focus on, you know, getting everything done right now, and just take one step at a time instead of trying to jump up the stairs.
You're product managing your life, right? It's kind of interesting as I listen to that. Like, there's all sorts of different parts, right? All sorts of different problems we can solve to come to the same outcome. And so that was just so fun to hear.
Yeah, Ash, I had the same thought, right? That of course you've been drawn into product because you kind of have that strategic long-term vision sort of nature about you. And you couple that with a vision of, we can solve problems, right? And there are plenty of problems that can be solved, plenty of people who need to be helped, opportunities that need to be made where there's not opportunities now, I think is what you said earlier. And you couple those two things together, and I could totally see why you would choose a career in product, but not have that be your final destination, right? And who knows what the future holds? You're going to take these problem-solving skill sets and mindsets and strategic thinking, and you're going to apply that to all sorts of problems into the future. And I think it's really fun to see that strategic thinking of, okay, yes, I've got wonderful passion. Check, right? Awesome. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
But I need a discipline. I need a skill set that I can channel that passion towards and get the most out of that passion, right? And so let me take the next step in my career for a few years and hone that skill set. And then maybe the next step is, okay, well, let me find a place where I can bring the passion and the skill set together and start to solve some more of these problems that I care about.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that, yeah, you hit the nail on the head with that summary there. Yeah, and it's an empowering feeling as well, you know, building those skills and being able to, yes, feel that frustration of, okay, I'm only focusing on the issues, but you're not putting as much energy into the solution. And so now it's great being able to, you know, over the past few years, get closer and closer to feeling like I'm actually able to make that contribution. And it's hard, and I didn't want to do it before, but it just took, you know, a lot of self-discipline and saying, okay, you know, this is actually the way out of this, and this is the way that I see, you know, being the best.
It's like tech debt, right?
Yeah. And I was thinking the same thing. Like, everybody has so many ideas for features. There's so many ways that the product could go, right? And you just kind of have to say, yes, we have this overall vision, but hey, Matt, we need to put the blinders on. What is the next step? Right? What's the next thing? What's the next need? The next feature? You know, what's the next outcome? Whatever, right? And just have that self-discipline to say no and focus on what's really important.
Yeah, because when you look at some of the most successful people in the world, regardless of what industry they are or what they do, a lot of them have the ability to not be paralyzed by the endless opportunities that we seem to have these days. And you know, some of the most driven people are the ones who can put all of their energy with laser-like focus onto one thing and really knock it out of the park, instead of, you know, having a wide beam flashlight or something that doesn't really focus on one thing in particular, but it has the same amount of energy potentially. And so that's been something I continue to learn and grapple with.
Yeah. Beautifully said.
Yeah. Awesome, Matt. Thank you so much. This has been fun. Thanks for being open and just straightforward with us. It's so good.
Yeah, well, these are great questions. So thanks for digging into them as well and prodding around for another answer. It's great to, you know, talk about these things.
Yeah. Thank you.
We hope you found this episode to be helpful. If you did, please subscribe, tell your friends, and give us a 5-star rating. Have a question or feedback? Click the link in the show notes.